Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hi, it's me, Mike. I run the Sonar Podcast Network, the very one you're listening to right now. I love podcasting and I love the Canadian podcast community. And if you're a podcaster, work in podcasting, or just someone who loves podcasts, you're going to want to listen up. I'm proud to announce that I've been working very hard behind the scenes on an incredible podcasting event in Toronto on June 6th, the Soundwave Summit 2024. And as a Sonar listener, you get 15% off on all tickets with the code SONAR15. An awesome group of podcast companies and creators have banded together to create a space for podcasters and fans to build community, share knowledge, and celebrate indie productions. There will be a ton of informative sessions all day, including talks from Canada Land, Vocal Fry, Black Canadian Creators, Lead Podcasting, and of course, from us, the Sonar Network. And in the evening, there will be a showcase of live podcast recordings from Blacklantic, Squirrel Talk, and the Women of Ill Repute. And it's all emceed by the amazingly talented and Survivor-winningest host of Happy to See Me podcast, Erica Kostupinen. Join us for insightful workshops on podcasting, networking with industry pros, drinks, and overall amazing opportunities to meet and collaborate with like-minded podcast lovers. Come for the sessions in the day, the live podcast showcase at night, or better yet, come for the whole thing. Tickets are going fast, so get them now at thesoundwavesummit.com. And don't forget to use the code SONAR15 for 15% off all tickets. That's SONAR15. See you there.
Hi, it's me, Ben.
And it's me, Abba.
And you're listening to Nostalgia.
That's like improv hive mind, because it's like we're there for each other.
Yeah.
I'm crying already.
Listener, I'm so sorry. I'm chewing because I'm eating my dinner.
No, and please, if any listener has a problem with ABBA literally eating their dinner, it's like, okay, like, you want ABBA to starve at this point. And can I out you as eating McDonald's?
Oh, yeah, I'm a dirty bitch.
Here's the thing, and I was talking to Abba earlier today how I ordered McDonald's last night, and I ordered chicken nuggets, and how, like, the repercussions. They're truly paying for my actions, and, like, all day. Mm-hmm. They were paying for my actions last night, and I realized that it will and always will be worth it, because watching you eat chicken nuggets right now, I'm like, I could go for a 20 right now. I don't care.
I think there's no benefit to eating McDonald's, like, not even nutritionally.
No.
Like, this is cement in my body as soon as it enters,
It's cement, it's microchips that tell the government where we are, it's NFTs. McDonald's is NFTs.
It's Bitcoin.
It's Bitcoin. that is McDonald's ASMR.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
You know what I don't like, though, about McDonald's? Oh, yes. Oh, it's a little... The salt. That is delicious. I will say, McDonald's, here's the one thing I've always said. I've never had a McGriddle. I've never had a McGriddle, and I want to try McGriddle so badly.
So but, please.
But they stopped selling them at 11 a.m. And I'm like, the people. Like,
wait.
I know. They stopped selling. It's like a true breakfast thing. And they do all day breakfast, but not with McGriddles. And
why?
I don't know. I think it's because it's like a specialty item, or maybe they only have so much, or if like it was something that was always like readily available, they would just have to like, it would, they run out of it all the time.
But yeah, it's like, it is fun. It is a fun, like,
it's just food. A shocking because McGriddles should be for people like not who are up like in the morning, but for people who are up late at night.
It if you're be- up before 11 a.m., you are not eating McGriddles.
You're not eating McGriddles.
Like, sorry. No one eats a McGriddle.
It's like,
and is like up before 11. It just doesn't work like that.
I really want to try one, and I'm worried that I'm going to get to a point in my life where I actually never will be able to try one.
Honey, just wake up earlier.
I know, but it's like, even because here's the thing. It's like, if I wake up earlier, it's like my whole morning, I won't even be able to leave my house until probably 11.
You're right. I'll wake up at 6 a.m. and be in my room until 12.
Absolutely. Like, even if I, like, wake, and I'll do stuff in my, like, maybe I'll clean a little bit. I'll stretch.
Yeah.
I'm like.
I edit in my room. Yeah.
And then, but it's like, I'm not even eating my first meal until, like, my stomach isn't even craving food until noon.
I can't. It's just not ready. My stomach only wants, like, really greasy food. And I don't keep greasy breakfast foods in my home because then that's all I'll eat. Just sausages and bacon.
And that's the best food in the world. And what I've started doing, if you want to make a little healthier hash brown, homemade hash browns, if you make a little stretch some carrots in there and maybe you'll put a little egg, it can be a deceptively kind of like wholesome, healthy breakfast. And you're not like, I mean, yes, like I guess you're like frying in a little bit of butter and oil in a pan, but it's like not as bad as like, I don't know. Something like making like a ton of bacon or something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So a little life hack.
You know, I used to make my own hash browns, but I can't anymore because they were too heavy in oil.
No.
But I'd season them with, get this, rosemary and garlic.
Oh, well, then that saves everything. Mm-hmm. And one of our guests is nodding. His head's going to fall off. He's nodding so much.
Mm-hmm. So good. Oh, my God.
You know what I made? I learned this from TikTok. Okay, spit on me in the town square. I learned a recipe on TikTok. But literally, garlic confit. Just you kind of like cook a bunch of butter. Or not butter. Garlic and like a big... Another guest is nodding her head. and then like a big, like a cast iron skillet or like a big like crock pot, whatever. And just so much so it's just basically like... like spreadable at that point. You put it in a jar with like oil and like then you could just spread it and you can make homemade garlic bread like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's so easy. Just get a baguette, smear that, put some rosemary, some seasoning, some butter, like literally anything.
Maybe a bit of basil even, maybe.
Fresh basil from the garden.
Mm-hmm. And then
you put a little some cheese, like, and then you put a little, maybe some cheese on that and a little tomato and you have a little funky garlicky little snack time open face panini.
Mm-hmm. Maybe a little mozzarella.
Maybe
a little Parmesan.
Bocconcini. I told Abba earlier that I was trying to learn Italian in quarantine using Duolingo and it only lasted a month. But the only thing I learned how to say was that's amore.
And
what was
allora.
It? Allora.
Yes. But that's not from
That's Dua, not from Duolingo.
Why do I want to say Dua Lipa?
I was going to say Dua Lipa too.
Yeah. What does her name mean? Do we know?
I don't know. And I remember my friend, like when this was like years ago when Dua Lipa was like first exploding onto the scene. And I think like she's like a refugee. That's like part of her story. I don't know if I'm going to remember.
An Eastern European.
Eastern European past. Moment, like maybe Bosnia, Latvia, one of the Eastern European countries that just never got the best deal. And that's kind of her story. And my friend was like, oh my God, like he just assumed that she was Latina because Dua Lipa kind of sounds like a little bit Latina. And like heard that she was a refugee and basically was like this like Latina refugee artist. And then I was like, oh, cool. Check her out. Fully a British woman. Like just told me like, hi, I'm Dua Lipa. I was like, okay, not Latina. But
oh my God.
I still like
her.
You
know, I didn't know she was a refugee. That's a really important thing to know.
I also hope that I'm right about that. But I think that is completely wrong.
She's a child of like execs. Like, she's like,
they're like, she's like true royalty in London. But because like, I remember thinking like, oh, I guess you can have a British accent and like come from like a twisted background. You know, because her accent is very like, hi, I'm Dua Lipa. And you just kind of hear that and you're like, oh, you just kind of have like a cozy upbringing. Like royalty. Because it's not like, oi, love, like that type of British accent. It's like...
That's very funny. You know whose accent changes all the time randomly?
Who?
Tom Hardy.
Really?
Some days he'll be like, hello, I'm Tom Hardy. Other days he'll be like, hello, I'm Tom Hardy.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh my. I love a British accent. Tom Hardy, remember there was that whole time with his career where like everyone was like, oh, he's like a queer ally. He's an LGBTQ rights activist, because an interviewer was like, I heard that a rumor you're bisexual. And he was like, don't ask me that. And everyone was like, that's right, it shouldn't matter. And I'm like, I don't think that's what Tom Hardy was saying.
No, he's had sex with men before though.
I bet. I mean, he has DSLs. He does. Have you seen his lips?
He does have dick sucking
lips.
They're
very like, they look, and I'm not, and I don't think he's had like filler, but they look very like, the lines are just very crisp. They're very like kissy lips. He's a gay.
He's gay, but he really loves his wife. He's always talking about her.
But you know who else, you know what other type of category of men love women? Gay men. And he could totally be just one of those gay men that's like, oh, I stan my wife's a diva, I stan her. Those straight men talking about his wife. I stan my wife. She's,
oh my god, do you know who we stan?
our guests.
Oh my god. Oh my Ben god. I need you to start because my mouth is full.
I know, I love it. Also, your nails look gorgeous.
Thank you. They're falling off.
Our guests, we've officially... Oh, they still look gorgeous. Our guests, we've gone international this episode. We're out of province for once in our goddamn life. This stupid little... You know, people who don't live in Ontario must hear our stupid little voices and be like, these Ontario people just think they know mm-hmm. everything. And well, admittedly, we don't. I've never learned mm-mm. a thing once in my life. Our guests... Iconic, they are just a mere fraction of the iconic sketch podcast... comedy collective just swarming mm-hmm. the nation, not even just ours, North America as well. You've seen them on JFL Northwest, San Francisco Sketchfest, Toronto Sketchfest, Chicago Sketchfest, Improvaganza, the Winnipeg Comedy Festival. Listen, even if you don't know anything about comedy, I'm sure you know these festivals. These are big, exactly. heavy hitters. Stuff that I would cut off my pinky toe to book, Hunks. Are you listening?
Exactly.
I'm jealous.
Exactly. Okay. We're so jelly, jelly, jelly. Yeah. You can listen to their live sketch album that just came out. It's called Mouth Beef. If you're someone who has a mouth or likes beef, you'll love that.
I love it.
And they have a podcast that's also called Hunks that I think you should listen to and pay attention to.
Pay attention to it.
Surely. It is amazing.
Yes.
So please give it up to...
No, keep going. Keep... That was so good.
Please prepare your ears for... Only a fraction of this troupe.
Yes.
Give it up for Dana Smith
and Rory
Fallas.
Did I say your last name right? Yeah. Fallas. Okay,
oh shit!
Okay.
Sorry, Fallas.
I was going to say Fallas.
No,
I was going to say Fallas.
Right. Abba said it right.
Okay.
Oh yeah, really? Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I'm shocked.
Yeah. Okay. Perfect. Oh my god. Hi. Welcome.
Thanks so much for being here with us.
Thank
virtually.
You. Okay, virtually. I have so many things to talk about what you guys were talking about. First of all, I've been making
okay.
notes.
Yeah, yeah.
McGriddles.
Okay. Yeah.
Truly, oh,
okay, I love that.
It's good that you can only get them, like, it's bad yes. that you can only get them in the morning mm-hmm. because they okay. ruin your fucking day.
Yes.
Like, they ruin your entire whole day because okay. in the same way that, like, yeah. if you yeah. ever have, like, it's heavier than an Egg McMuffin. Mm-hmm. And it's also got a lot of
yes.
sugar in it,
yes.
so it just ruins
yeah.
you.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, yeah.
Your body's done.
Don't even
yeah.
bother. Try, yeah, like, right. you know what I would do? Get one at the last time possible minute you can. Save it until you're drunk at night.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Right yeah. before going to bed.
Oh my God, and then heat it up in the oven.
Or
heat it up in the oven.
You have to just stay up. Like, it's not for people who are waking
right.
up before 11. It's for people who are still
yes.
up before 11.
Galaxy yeah. brain. You're so
menu.
Right.
You have to sleep after mm-hmm. having this McDonald's mm-hmm. dish.
Yes.
Oh my God, you guys are going off right now. You're so fucking right. You
yes.
have to sleep.
Yeah.
If I'm getting a McGriddle, it's because I'm
yes.
plastered
yes.
and I'm about to go to sleep. Like literally when I was in Halifax, Ben, at the party Chris and I were talking about, I was wasted out of my mind and I just yelled to nobody in particular, does Halifax have McGriddle?
Someone on the street is like, yes.
Yes.
That is so, okay. This is good to know because I think I needed to like shift, like I created so many structures in my brain of like when to have a McGriddle, like what time. And I'm like, and what you're doing now is like you're just breaking down these barriers and these walls. And you're like, Ben, no. Like you can have it whenever you want. And now I'm gonna think of it as a late night.
Yes.
Snacky.
Yeah. And we don't have to stick to the McGriddle binary. No. Okay. We can exist outside of
If anything, it should only be available between 2 a.m. and 9 a.m. That's it.
Exactly. Yeah. I 100% agree.
I would go if that was available for me at like 2 a.m. I'd get that every night.
Yeah.
I'd get it every single night.
Yes. Hands down. My God.
Have you both ever had a McGriddle?
I have. Okay, yeah. So I have, and it used to be like my go-to until I turned maybe like, it used to be my go-to in the mornings if I were to get anything from McDonald's in the mornings, but until I turned like, I don't know, I want to say 27 or 28, and then I was that just makes like, sense. I don't think I can handle this anymore. Like my body is shutting down around this.
No. Oh my God.
Yes. Oh my God. And I don't know about you, but my roommate and I always talk about this where we're like, we're addicted to McDonald's because like we grew up poor. So like you just eat McDonald's as often as possible because it's cheap food. Even if I don't want McDonald's, my body has to have it. Like I get withdrawal symptoms if I don't have it twice a week.
You're like shaking.
So I'm like, I need a nugget.
Same except that every time I go to McDonald's, I pretend like it's the last time I'm ever going to go to McDonald's. And so I get everything. You know what I mean? Like instead of fries, I'm actually just going to have McNuggets. And then I'm like, but I should probably get fries too. So I get the fries. I get the milkshake.
Oh my God.
If my ice cream machine is on.
Yes.
I get the fucking.
Oh, you're so smart.
The nuggets. And I get like a cheeseburger. It's crazy. That's so,
You literally just like said my usual order from McDonald's.
The strawberry milkshake is so. Have you ever done this? And I admit, I'm admitting right now on the pod that I have done this, and it's so embarrassing. But you can go into a McDonald's with maybe like you're like hanging out with a cute boy or girl, and you're like on a date, and you're kind of like you're in a McDonald's or you're in like a fast food establishment, and you want to act like you don't know exactly what you fucking want because you go there all the time. Like, so you're kind of like, oh right, well like what is good here? Like you're asking. Like, are like the chicken nuggets like crispy? Like what's their vibe? Like,
oh
you're
just my asking, god!
Or like you just feel like like should I get like a burger? Like I don't know. Like
maybe I don't know.
Pretending like you're not craving exactly what you like. Yeah. Your body knows you want.
Yeah,
I've
like
done that
what's
so many
good
times.
Here?
So
what
like,
do you recommend? I don't know.
How
big is a Big Mac?
Meanwhile, you're just hoping that the person behind the counter doesn't say your first name.
Oh my God, Rory, do not even get me started. When I lived at the corner of College and Spadina, I'd go to that Burger King every single week for a Whopper. And at a certain point, like after a few weeks, the ladies would like, I'd walk in, they'd go, hey, our friend. I'd be like, shut up.
That is dark. You come in as a disguise.
Burger King is so dangerous for me too, because it can they trick you into believing that all these things, you can get all these little small things. You know, you can get all these little small sides. Mm-hmm. These like, oh, you can get a Whopper Jr. and chicken fries and chicken nuggets and mozzarella sticks. Like.
Yeah, Wendy's does that too. Wendy's will be like, oh, you can have fries and a baked potato if you're feeling crazy.
Yeah,
or like
five for five.
Or just like four chicken nuggets. And like four chicken nuggets feels like nothing.
That's nothing. Yeah.
Insane. People shouldn't eat
but it's
you should not eat like this.
No.
But I can't stop.
Yeah.
I can't stop. I'm really trying. I really am trying. Can't stop addicted to the shindig. I truly need to. It's so bad.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man. I'm so excited to talk about the band that we have today, because I have this stupid fucking tweet.
I love it so much.
I cannot wait to hear it.
When I get like an influx of new followers, I'm like, hey guys, welcome to my page. You probably don't know a lot about me, but we'll start here and don't get it twisted. I don't practice in Korea. I ain't got no crystal ball. I had $1 million, but I spent it all. Like, it's so stupid.
It's so funny.
But I love it.
The first time I ever read that tweet, I remember kind of being, oh, well, maybe ABBA's like really like setting some boundaries. Like,
boundaries?
No hate on my page. No stupid misogynist shit. Like, no racism, no transphobia, like, all that stuff. And then it went into like, I do not practice Santeria.
I do not have a crystal ball.
I had $1 million, yes. But I spend that
I spend it all.
I love that tone.
I think it's funny to monologue
fans.
Oh, totally.
So if you guys want, you can go ahead and introduce the topic of the day.
Yeah, we're talking about Sublime because it is the, I'm pretty sure, the only band or music that Dana and I share in common that we both like.
Yeah, there was nothing. There's like so little. I was like, what if we did like Britney versus Christina? And he's like, no, Britney versus some obscure metal band.
Rory's like, who's Britney and Christina?
Yeah.
That is so funny. So Rory, what's your taste like? And then Dana, tell us what your taste is like.
Well, I come into Sublime more on the like punk and thrash side of it because that's definitely a part of Sublime, right? So that's more what I like, is the heavier, faster, more aggressive music.
Okay, and I came into it from the groovy ska reggae. Yeah. I was like a ska baby. I was one of the people with like safety pins in their clothing. You know what I mean? Just like
Those hemp sweaters.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah.
I miss those hemp sweaters. When I see those hemp sweaters around, I'm like, okay, the culture is still alive.
Like
that's so you.
Someone who wears those like poncho sweaters for sure loves Sublime. Like there is no way they don't.
And you guys, I still like Sublime. That's the thing where I was like, I want to make fun of myself for being this ska lady, but I still think that they're great.
Yeah, yeah.
And I still think he has the sexiest voice. Like,
I need to know what you think about that. And then I was looking at my husband today,
and I was like, oh my God, he is kind of like what I imagined the lead singer of Sublime to be I'd rather not think about what what he really looks like.
Yeah,
no,
totally.
No, don't think about what they look like.
Because I married this like super, super stoner head, you know? And
oh my God, that is so funny. Like, I feel like the way you feel about Sublime is the way I feel about I grew up listening to like these depraved, insane men and just being around that culture. Like, I was also really into like Jackass. And now I can look back and be like, okay, they were not okay. All those men were addicted to heavy drugs. They should have gotten help.
Yes.
But I can't let go of the music.
Totally.
Yeah. No. I can't let go of the music.
Yeah.
And even just like the, oh no, sorry, where you go.
Oh, I was just going to say, I went through, like, I still love Sublime too. Like listening to them again for like kind of preparing for this, I was like, okay, yeah, I know Sublime well, but I better re-listen to the music. I was like, these songs fucking
I love
rule.
Them.
Like, I definitely went through a period of like being sort of like, oh yeah, Sublime, like that's lame, whatever. Like,
Like,
oh good.
Well, that's what I want to ask about. That's what I really want to know. Like, I feel like people really rag on Sublime. I do too. Like, I drag Sublime all the time. But do you, when you're listening, is it like earnest, or is it like this nostalgic like appreciation for like what your life was like then? And like,
it's hard for me to separate them because like there's definitely the nostalgia will never not be there. And I think I still, no, because I have listened to songs that I've been nostalgic about and I'm like, I don't really like this. Or like, oh, this is a little bit, I can't believe I liked it as much as I did. Whereas like now I'm just like developing more appreciation or different appreciation for it.
Okay. Oh my God.
Yeah, I feel even the first time I heard the songs, they are like riddled with nostalgia. Like Sublime sounds like the first day of summer when you can finally roll the windows down on the car.
The beginning
of the first song on their self-titled album is just like, yeah, roll the windows down. You cannot listen to this in the winter.
Rory, you are a poet. That is gorgeous. It is true, though. There's something very, I'm like, obviously, like, surprise, surprise. I started listening to Sublime when I started smoking weed at my arts high school. I mean, you couldn't ask for something more cliche. Yeah. But it was truly just a thing of, like, that music to me will always feel like the first like warm day after school, where everyone's still kind of like hanging out after school and like people are smoking fucking weed and people are like smoking poppers, like, and everyone's like going crazy and like the seniors have like some tall cans and you're like it feels very that to me. Like there's some, and it's like it feels like a little bit like everyone's kind of striving for like that California style, especially like at the time, like, stoner kids were very like, so many kids in my high school dressed in like that poncho and wearing like the baggy like jean shorts, and just it all felt very like, girl, like it is winter, like we live in Canada, like we're nowhere near the Pacific Ocean, but
that was the vibe. I felt like Sublime for me like reminded me of like going to like my aunt's house like in the summertime, because they were always on the radio, surprisingly. Like there was a lot of ska and like ska inspired music on the radio in the early 2000s, and so it reminds me of like in the summer, like driving to a barbecue and just having that song on. And I recently looked at the lyrics and I was like, wait, what the fuck? You know, like the lyrics are so fucked up, but the vibe that it elicits is so like relaxed and
but
like,
you're right, the lyrics are just fucked. Like, what, there's an entire album dedicated to heroin and to heroin use. And then there's just like problematic weird shit that they're always saying, you know, about women and about like it's just, it's, I'm just like, when I'm singing it in karaoke, okay, when I'm singing it in karaoke, I try to disassociate myself from that.
Yeah, totally.
Especially like the heavy hitter songs of theirs, I feel like they exist out, like the culture claimed those songs. Yes. Like, they don't exist to Sublime anymore. Like, we're like, no. Like, these just like belong to the late 90s, early 2000s.
Oh, totally.
Oh my God.
Everyone knows What I Got and Santeria. Yeah. Like, it doesn't matter. You, there, like, if you've never even heard the name Sublime, you for sure know that song.
And like
songs. No, go ahead.
Why? I'll ask
when I would sing, like as I said, it is my Santeria, especially, and especially in like, not maybe like late like 2010s. 2010s was I was singing it in karaoke all the time because I'd like had my resurgence of appreciation for it, and I was like, it's especially Santeria, perfectly in my range. You know what? Traveling, I sang, like, it's everywhere too. It's like in Mexico. In Mexico, I sang it in karaoke in Mexico. I think I do too much karaoke. I don't like karaoke anymore, but it's just like something that you do.
I love karaoke so much
because it's like, what else, you know? Yeah. Everywhere in Asia, there, you're always going to find Santeria.
Oh, big karaoke culture.
And that's a great song for people who, because I'm no vocalist, I'm no singer, but that's a song that's like,
absolutely.
Totally.
Like, I don't need to be trained.
Is that why it's such a popular song? Like, I understand, you know, it's like kind of just talking.
It is really, it's not even like a dare, it's like not singing, it's not rap, it's really just like rhythmically speaking.
But there's this way that the bridge before he gets into the chorus and he goes like da 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 da, da. That's one of the most,
and especially when he puts the growl
little
in
bits. I always just gotta you gotta really give her when you're doing that part.
That song especially, like, I could care less about playing guitar, but like I would love to be able to play on guitar. You know what I mean? The little riff, the I would love to do that.
You pull out a guitar at a party and everyone's like, oh god, and you start playing Santeria and everyone's singing along like begrudgingly.
Santeria is the anti-Wonderwall that way. It really is.
Yes.
Okay, we're
But that's how you know you're also at like maybe perhaps a fucked up party. You're either at a really good party or a fucked up party. But I want to know, like, how did you first get into Sublime? Was it a thing where you sought them out, or did you just hear the song and you were kind of like, okay, I have to listen to this entire...
I can't remember a time where I didn't love Sublime.
I love.
Yeah, they're one of those bands. They kind of just always were.
I feel like I have this vague memory that like one of my mom's ex-boyfriends when I was a kid had Robin the Hood. So I remember the cover and seeing it, and that album fucking sucks. It's the worst. Like, the other two albums are so good, and Robin the Hood is terrible. Like, it's horrible. Unlistenable.
Yeah, the name, that name is awful. Yeah. That's god awful.
Robin the Hood.
It's so bad. So bad.
That is like first thought, Second City main stage performance pun level. Like, like, it is.
Robin the Hood. Oh,
it's so bad. There's one song on it, Saw Red, with Gwen Stefani singing along, is like good. as a song, it's only memorable because of Gwen Stefani.
Gwen Stefani, classic ska queen.
Ska queen. Oh my god! Of course, Gwen was featured.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
So I feel like that's the first time I heard of Sublime, but then yeah, like kind of like Dana, like just the songs themselves, they're just ever present.
Ever present. I agree.
I was going to use that word. Definitely remember listening to it a lot when I, as you said, started smoking weed and being a teenager. But I also don't remember being like, hey, what's this song? I remember it being like, oh, I'm just getting back into Sublime, you know?
Yeah. Oh my God. And I think it's really interesting because I feel like you guys kind of got into Sublime around the time, and like me too, but they're... When you guys got into Sublime, it sounds like you were capable of like stringing together like a coherent sentence. Yeah. And like, I was still like getting out of like kindergarten kind of. So I feel like we have
We're absolutely younger than you. That's what we're trying to say. We are but babies.
You guys are like aggressively young. Yeah.
No. I just want you guys to know I'm mentally 73. It's true. So we're all on the same page. Actually, I'm your elder. But it's very much this thing where you kind of like, so we all entered like this love of Sublime. I use love very loosely. You know, during this time when they were on the radio, but I wonder if there are people who got into Sublime by the time their CDs were like in the $4 like Walmart bins, you know, like, are there fans of Sublime retroactively after their peak? Do you think that exists?
Yeah? I bet you there's kids smoking weed now who are like, you got, because see people walking around with that sun on their shirt and you're, like ubiquitous. Like you see kids wearing it and you're like, oh fuck, that album is like 30 years old.
Yeah. Totally. I guess that's the thing. If you're a part of like a culture like that, like weed culture, you do get into these bands. That's true.
And they don't, they exist in like a canon where it's almost like you have no choice. It's like you start hanging out with like stoners through any time. I mean, I guess like not before Sublime.
Yeah.
Creative music, but like anytime afterward, like people are listening to Sublime. Like it's just in the ether. And even with like the iconography attached to Sublime, it's like you can't like go into like, I don't know, like a bong shop or whatever and not see like a Sublime poster or see like Sublime-esque weed merch. It's a very, they're intertwined, they're sisters in that way.
Yeah.
Interesting. That's so true. That is so true. I always forget how like prominent drug culture just is in music.
Yeah.
Especially it's ska. So true. That is so freaking funny.
But weed, I feel like isn't in music anymore.
Weed isn't in music anymore. It is like lean and like Percocet and like it's prescription drugs now. Pills. Like, it's pill culture now.
We're gonna bring weed back. Yeah.
I think weed will come back for sure. It'll come back.
Oh, for sure. I wonder though, because you know, as it's getting more mainstream, there are more. It's becoming legalized. Yeah. Is it like a square thing now? Like, I wonder if
maybe,
it's like,
but then like, maybe it'll be more. People still sing about booze all the time, right?
But that's pretty niche though. People singing about booze. It's more like country music and stuff that people are singing about booze. You know, like I don't think it'll be a big thing. Maybe song in the same shots. Yeah, that's from like 15 years ago.
Shut up. So,
yeah, Rory, shut up.
I was also just thinking 40 Ounce to Freedom. They sang about booze.
Yeah. Yeah,
totally. Because it feels like the last like big alcohol song I remember being in was the Kendrick song.
Pull up, drink, pass out, drink,
swimming pools. Yes, I was like, what? And
yeah, like 2013.
And then I feel like it's almost like the Gen Zs, if you will, the TikTok generation. They were like, we're not going to do any of that. We want pharmaceuticals.
Yeah. More kids are sober. Yeah. More kids are. There's a big sober culture like growing. Like people are getting into mocktails. As like weed becomes more accessible, people know how to manage that better than drinking.
Yeah. Oh yeah, big time.
Yeah, because when I got into smoking, like I was like, oh, I can just smoke and be okay. Like, I don't have to overdo it. Whereas drinking, it took me a little
bit. But there's also, like, so much to learn. Totally. I'm so happy with weed being legal now because I did just so overdo it thinking, like, doing as – I didn't realize that it was the same as booze where it's, like, I couldn't smoke as much as, like, this other guy who smokes – every like all the time every day, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so I would just get fucked up and like fucked up in the head and well just like paranoia, you know, just
would
like
green out
teenage paranoia.
Yeah, totally.
Um,
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah, that's the thing. Or, you have to know your, like, your dose.
Yeah. In high school, I used to think, like, getting stoned meant, like, you can't do anything.
You are
grounded on the couch. Like, you are freaking out. You are not coherent. And then it took, like, a couple of years, I don't know, until, like, I was, like, 17, 18, where I was like, no, like, I actually like to be able to talk and, like, enjoy things.
Oh, yeah.
And be able to, like, go into, like, a store, like, when I'm stoned and not be like, holy fuck. Like, totally. Everyone's watching me.
Well, that's the thing.
And Sublime was a big part of that.
Totally. That's the thing I like about weed being legal is knowing what you're getting, where it's like, I don't have to get this, the weed that's like going to just completely wreck me. Mm-hmm. I can get.
Obliterate me. Yeah.
I can get something with like a lower percentage and it's just like, fine. You can live your life.
Yes. Oh my God.
Yeah. Because the weed man never knows. I mean, I try not to get government weed. Same. But I no longer have a weed. Well, I shouldn't even be fucking like saying this on the podcast. Never mind.
I will say when I was like, oh my God, this was like before dispensaries became a thing. But when I was like a teenager and even like 18, my weed guy would pull up in a car and would not get in, pull up on the side. He would not have bags. He would sometimes he would have, like, he would tear off chunks of, like, a no-frills bag or something, or a grocery bag, and tie it in that. A lot of the time, he didn't, and you would just stick your hand out, and he would just, like, loosely, like, just dump a bunch of nugs in your hand, and then I'm just walking with that with a handful of weed.
Why would he do that? Wait.
Then, like, one day I went to text him, and, like, our friends, like, a bunch of us, like, used him, and we're like, yeah, like, he hasn't been around in a while. Months and months go by, he's finally back. He texts us all. He's like, hey, everyone, like, I'm back from jail. We're like, I'm ready to chop again. And we're all like, no shit, you were in jail. Like, you were the least discreet weed guy in the whole entire world. But, yeah, and he was, oh, my God. My heart goes, I would prefer that man than, like, the people in these, like, Apple store dispensaries with, like, iPads. And they're like, I'm like, enough. And it's, like, so much plastic for, like, a pre-roll.
Oh, I know. It's crazy.
Oh, my God.
It's actually bananas.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Speaking of weed culture, though, I feel like, do you guys feel like there is a current Sublime, like, a band where you're like, okay, I don't know. I'm trying to think. I'm like...
I feel like after Sublime, I mean, I don't know, but I feel like after Sublime, it like really shifted to hip hop being weed culture.
Yeah.
Like it wasn't a band in the same way, you know?
I agree. Truly. It really is a thing where like hip hop for a long time was like carrying the cool of weed culture. And even now it's shifted. Yeah, it's like everyone's singing about lean and like pills. But I guess there really isn't a Sublime of this time. Is it fair to say like Sublime is like, what's the word?
Oh, I know it. Oh, obsolete.
Is it obsolete? Not obsolete. Like one. There's only one. There can only
singular.
Be one Sublime.
They're singular.
Singular. Yeah. Like. There's no way to ever have another Sublime.
I agree.
I think that's true. I feel like even at the time there was no one like Sublime before because they like took all of their influences and were just like so upfront about them and earnest and like it's kind of goofy but you just have to love it because it's like they're not goofy. Bullshitting that it's like they love all of these different types of music like it's clear that
and they make
do,
it work
even though it's written
they were I'm glad you said that because they were a bit goofy like there was some silly like there's always kind of like some kind of they never they're one of those bands that even like at their peak always felt like they were kind of like a jam band.
Always totally. A party band. Mm-hmm. Never totally. Like they never like took themselves too seriously.
Yeah.
But that is also such like a hallmark of that time is like the whole like garage band type. Mm-hmm. And like I mean like literal like band playing in a garage.
Garage.
I love type of vibe. And like I feel like we don't it just and I don't know. I'm not going to high school parties obviously. Maybe that does happen, but I feel like
It does. Well, like bands like Shelly and who's that other band? I can't remember, but all these like indie bands that are coming out, it's like they are all the same vibe of like that kind of like 90s Riot Girl thing and just like 90s pop punk where it's kind of just like people singing in their bedroom and their garage.
I want to go to shows like that after quarantine.
I've just forgotten about music. You know what I mean? Like about especially live music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh yeah. It sucks.
And Winnipeg is kind of a lots of great moments coming out of Winnipeg for me. The weaker thans.
Yeah.
Is that
yeah.
crazy for me to say?
Yeah.
I love the weaker thans.
Yeah,
I'm a huge fan. I like the weaker thans, but I literally can't claim to know anything about them. You know what I mean?
Oh,
yeah.
I truly love them. And okay, this feels like I'm attacking your city of Winnipeg.
No.
But
please.
There's that. Wait. Is it the song that
it's called Winnipeg.
One Great City is what it's called.
One Great City, yes, it's sorry. Yeah. I was like, that's definitely not the name, but that is the chorus.
Yeah.
I love that song so much. And like that song to me, it's like, I want to like walk the streets of Winnipeg listening to that song one day. I'm not kidding.
Yeah, that's no, it's it, like Weaker Than's, like John K. Samson is like the poet of Winnipeg. Yeah. Like he captures exactly what it's like to live in Winnipeg.
I love that.
Weaker Than's lyrics are so good.
Yeah, totally.
I love that.
Yeah.
I really miss, there used to be this really good thing about Canadian music where it's like, they just said every single fucking street or something you could think of. Like,
specificity of it all.
Yes.
So good.
Yes, like Feist used to name drop neighborhoods in her music all the time. She'd be like, I'm walking through the junction, blah, blah, blah. And Broken Social Scene. There's that song that's like, walk. Going to this costume party on DuPont Street. And I used to live on DuPont Street.
Yes.
It's by the Brave Shores or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I miss that Canadian music. I say all that to say that I really do miss that, where it felt so localized.
They do that. People in like LA or New York, they do that all the time. And I was talking about, I don't know.
Rodeo.
Cordelia Street. Cornelia Street.
But I'm like, those are famous. Yeah. We want our Toronto famous. Our Winnipeg famous. Yeah, our Winnipeg famous streets.
That's so true. Have either of you ever seen Sublime live?
No.
I was too young. And like, honestly, I don't. They ever played in Winnipeg?
No, I really don't think so.
They really
became famous, really famous after Bradley Noel. Bradley Noel died. They were.
How did he die?
Fine before, but like once he died, then that like everything really took off. In 97,
wow.
He died in 96 and.
96,
he died in
96, yeah, and then all the singles came out after that. Yeah.
Oh, I literally had no idea of that history.
Yeah, no. Yeah. Apparently, a lot of people don't even know that he died, and then like they still get fan mail.
I literally didn't know that.
Yeah,
I truly had no idea until, and I honestly felt like the dumbest person in the world. I was like, oh, I had no idea he died. But I'm glad I'm not alone.
Yeah.
Wait,
heroin
what
overdose.
Unless it's too dark to
heroin overdose.
About.
Oh,
that's what I assumed. Yeah. It feels unprecedented. Also, though, like this could never happen now, where the lead singer of a very niche band passes away, and then
they become
mainstream.
Fucking huge. Yeah.
Huge. Their songs are on the radio. Now music is very niche and like localized. Like you have to be a part of certain groups in order to listen to certain music.
Totally.
Yeah.
But they like that could never happen.
No, and I feel like now it like for. People to become like really, really known musically, it takes like a lot longer. Like it really doesn't seem like people have the overnight like one hit and they're just like massive. Mm-hmm. It feels like it's really building because it's so niche, you know? Like it takes like it's not like Taylor Swift, like as much as like she's been famous for a long time.
God. Teardrops on My Guitar came out years before she was at the award shows.
Yeah.
And it's also a thing too, now that I think about it, with like a band like Sublime, like I mean, now they have their hit songs that everyone knows, and then their fan base knows all their other shit. But like TikTok songs, even TikTok songs that become really famous, I'll honestly eat an entire jar of bees before I'm ever able to tell you the artist that has made any of those TikTok songs.
Totally.
Yeah.
So like your song can be super popular, but people won't know who the fuck you are or what it's called unless you're using it on TikTok.
The culture has shifted from like it's all about having a single. It's single, and it's truly like less about creating like a fully realized concept. And it's just like all these TikTok artists are just kind of like on the tail end of all these trends, and just they all blend into each other.
Mm-hmm.
It's sad, and it's like I'm sure they're all talented. I mean, I'm not the only one I could literally think of is like Olivia Rodrigo. That's like the only. That's the only one I know. Is she even TikTok? See, I don't know. I don't know. I'm gonna delete my TikTok. Mark my words.
But, don't delete it. Yours are so good.
But yeah.
But so do you guys? I don't know if I already asked this. Do you guys have favorite songs by someone?
That's why I was like trying to think about that today, and I was like, I can't even anymore. You know, where it's like I can't yeah. decide because
yeah.
At first, I was like, oh, no, I listened to Santeria so much that I was like, no, I'm sick of it. But then I was listening to Sublime today, and then it came on, and I was like, okay, but it's still pretty good.
Yeah. Yes! It's a forever song. If it comes on right now, I'm leaving it on.
Yeah. I also really good like song. Listening to Bad Fish. It's
getting warmer.
I like the songs where they're talking in it, and for some reason I'm like, why do I like it? It's so stupid, but I do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, I like April 29th, 1992. It's about the riots, the 90s riots.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Emotional. They have a song that's that
low. Yeah, no, right?
I think I would listen in my. I was doing a listen earlier today, and I think that was one of the songs. And I remember like before it was truly like What I Got or something. Yeah. And I was kind of just like, I don't know, like cleaning my room, be like, yeah, this is cool. And then it went on to that, and I was like, oh, they really have something to say.
Yeah, totally.
Were they like... So they were on the right side of history.
They were on the right side of history.
It's like, sort of. I feel like they, you know, like Dana was saying with their lyrics, it's like, in some ways, yes, and for the time...
And a lot of ways.
For the time, like, yeah. Like, their song, Date Rape, is like...
Yeah.
It's fucked. And like the way it all wraps up, you're like, this is so like really lost touch and whatever. But for a song to come out in 1992 about consent is like kind of fucking nuts in like bro culture like that. Like it's still on the right side in as much as it's like date rape is fucked. Like it sucks.
Yeah. Wait, let me look. I can't remember.
It's like listening to it now, I'm just kind of like, oh, it. But I remember I first listened to it, and I was like, "Yeah, get him!"
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh my god! So they're. God! Oh god! They're just really telling the story of like they're just telling the story. They're like, I love how they assume that people will be like, "Oh yeah, that's wrong." This is poignant because they're talking about how it's wrong, but he's really just.
He's just
retelling a someone else's story for sure. Yeah, and
yeah, that's so interesting. Yeah. He had his
that's
heart in
the right. Their hearts are in the right place, but it's also kind of like White Knight syndrome, where it's just like, okay, he does that a lot, where he's like saving someone from being a whore, you know, like, and she doesn't know it's wrong,
oh, God.
You know,
oh.
like that kind of thing. But don't worry, I'll kill your dad.
He's
for
that
you,
kind
you
of
know,
guy.
That kind of thing.
Oh God! Your dad. It is that vibe. It is very much that vibe.
To Rory's point, like at that time, and like obviously, like that type of White Knight behavior is cringe.
So cringe.
But that type of behavior, like that, like was like radical
was
allyship at the
at
time.
The time.
Like, be like, no, like I'll take care of you.
Yeah.
Like it's so. Yeah. It's like you're with the wrong guy. Like I'm. Like it's very.
Yeah.
I'm the good guy. You're just a woman.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Instead of like, and no part of this has the woman ever spoken.
Yeah.
I was like, no, it's
silent
okay.
and smiling.
But then, except in Santeria, there's kind of like, I wonder if it was like, it's the same woman that he was talking about saving her from sex work, and that she went back with this Sancho,
Sancho,
and then he wants to talk about how he wants to kill Sancho and beat her up, and it's like, did she just leave you? You know?
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah,
it's really insane. It's really wild the like mental gymnastics we have to do to like understand their stance on things.
And like, it's also because like it was just like raw emotion that now we as like I guess like more for lack of a better term like more woke people or like it's existed in the conversation like date rape now, so we're trying to be like, well, maybe they were saying this, and sometimes I have to be like, Ben, they had no idea like about any wave of feminism was not on their radar. Like they were trying.
Yeah,
but it is funny to sometimes, especially like with artists we want, it's like we want to root for them, and we want to be like, oh yeah, like they weren't all bad, but I'm also like, no, they were also children too. They were like 20-year-old like silly billies who, I mean, as hard as they
were, silly billies.
They were silly.
And honestly, did you say silly billies or hilly billies?
Silly billies.
No, I thought you said hilly billies.
But honestly, I truly,
I think
whenever
to call someone a hillbilly.
This is like, I don't know if this is TMI, but I picture like when, because at my high school, there was this whole like hierarchy of like, and this is so cringe, on Dana and Rory are going to leave the chat, but the hierarchies at my arts high school were like, if you were in senior band, that was like, you were like the hottest shit alive. And you were like, probably these cool, lanky, straight dude who played bass. And like, whenever I like close my eyes and try to picture what Sublime looked like, I just picture like people, like the hot boys who went to my high school.
Oh my god, so you think they're hot. Look them up
they
right now.
They are
right
not.
Oh,
okay, I'm really
be,
scared.
It's a band so full of Jack Blacks.
Yes.
Yes. And even Jack Black is looking spiffy these days. These boys are like...
Okay, we're literally...
Like, think about... They look like the white... They look like the white people who lived in Brampton before other like races got there.
I
like
mean,
it's just.
I mean, you know, I will say, like,
why are you?
This, he is a Jack Black character.
Yes,
I mean, this is a Jack Black. Like, this is Jack Black with a fake neck tattoo and sunglasses and a hat.
Like, they have neck tattoos.
And you know what? Here's the thing. It's the outfits for me.
Totally.
It's the Billabong. It's the Billabong-esque style. It's wow.
Do you know what really kills me about bands like this? I'm always like, they have to sit across from recording executives and make a deal.
Not only that, but they would get fucked up in front of these record execs. Their dogs would attack the record execs like little girl, and their friends would like barf on them. They were
Dana.
Wild.
Tell us everything. What is this true?
Like, yeah, that happened.
They got kicked off of the Vans Warped tour because their dog bit too many skateboarders.
Yes. That's their dog at the beginning of I think Waiting for My Ruka. That's his real dog. He had a Dalmatian that he obviously just did not train, and it was just like growling and barking and like so vicious, and you just hear him say good dog.
Yeah,
it's just that kind of gritty, grimy,
I hate that
white guy with wraparound sunglasses, you know.
yellow lenses.
It really gives me insane clown posse.
They're a brigade of clowns for sure.
they are apparently a marginalized group of people.
The Insane Clown Posse?
Like the people who follow them, like that whole,
whole
group of people called? Juggalos. Yeah. Juggalos are apparently like a marginalized.
Yeah, but I mean,
people.
Like they cannot do, you know what I mean? Like they have a choice.
Yeah, no one is born a juggalo.
Yeah.
No one born a juggalo. I mean, I'm sure juggalos would agree that they were born to be a juggalo.
Yes, exactly. But like, but everyone else is like, come on. Like, you don't have to paint your face. Nobody has to know. You can listen to Insane Clown Posse by yourself.
I bring it up because I remember people on Twitter were like really making these big cases for them, being like, they're nomads and the government wants to kill them. And I was like, well, I guess I see it. If we're talking about it in the way that we talk about like Romani culture, where like they're afforded less rights because they live a different lifestyle that's very anti-capitalist, the antithesis of how our government works. But you're right. They could just not paint their face.
And I'm not saying they should be persecuted. I'm just saying like there's a way to not be.
And they're not a race. Yeah. They're not a religion.
I know. to liken their experience to that of the Roma people.
I'm so sorry.
No, for them to do like for them to be like, no, we're nomadic, like, and to try to like claim to be a part of that type of culture is so funny. I mean, that's what Chloe Zhao's Nomadland was all about. Is juggalo. But that is, oh my God. I'm also just picturing now, like, years from now, like, juggalos, like, having as reverence as, like, maybe we do for, like, the Roma. I mean, not the, like, Western culture is very terrible to the Roma people, but imagine just, like, a juggalo, like, sitting around a fire and, like, telling, like, young juggalos, like, the story of their people.
It all started when our ancestor, Josiah, came out of a car that was too small for him with 12 of his other cousins.
Oh my God.
Have you guys ever listened to Insane Clown Posse at all?
No, what's their music like?
It's like early Eminem sounding. Like, it's goofy. It's silly, like, Detroit rap from the 90s, but they're just about clowns. Oh. And even, like, the two guys in Insane Clown Posse were, like, because when Columbine happened, they were one of the people or one of the groups that was, like, people were like, this is why this happened. Marilyn Manson and Insane Clown Posse.
And the
guy from Insane Clown Posse is like, I'm wearing fucking clown makeup.
And I'm
it's not my
about
fault
clowns.
If people take me.
Yeah. America would do that. Be like, is this a gun control issue? No, it's clownery. It's clowns.
It's clownery.
Who are the problem? It's like, oh my God. That is wild. Now I want to listen to Insane Clown Posse now. I've never.
Yeah, I never have either.
Yes, I think. But imagine, like, next time we log on to Zoom, I'm in full.
You're like, I'm a persecuted person.
But I don't mention it. You're like, so Ben, what's new? I'm like, yeah, how did you week. Well,
rode around a tiny car with big shoes. It was fun. You know what? It's so funny. Like, we talk about Sublime because we were around when Sublime happened. Mm-hmm. But this generation does not know who, like, I feel as much as, like, they will still exist around weed culture, like, in a few decades, like, you know, there's going to be some viral video in, like, 2060 that's like, this is a band that used to exist. And then people, and it's, you know, those viral videos that are like, did you know that this celebrity existed in the 20s?
Or like when that Fleetwood Mac song got huge last year or whatever. And people are like, whoa, this is such a jam. And it's like, it's 50 years old, man. Like, it's
so yes. Oh my God. That's so funny to me. Yeah.
It's funny. It's equally sad, but also kind of cool to be like, good music does persevere in the way where it's like, it's like with that Fleetwood Mac song, it's like people were like, oh, this is a good song. And it's like, see, children, like, old stuff can be good.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of neat. But I mean, Fleetwood Mac Sublime getting that treatment 60 years from now.
I could see it for what I got. Santeria, maybe not. I don't know.
No. Yeah. You have to be actually practicing.
I know.
Santeria.
Sampling a bong rip. I mean, that's what kind of makes it, that's kind of sets the bar a little bit lower. The kind of expiry date of that.
Gets a little lower. That's really fucking funny. I think it's also a thing with Sublime where, like, there is no, I always ask this question where I'm like, what would you like them to do before they end their careers or, like, before they all, you know, pass away? But I don't think they'd ever come back and do anything really.
There is a Sublime with Rome. It's like the other two guys got a different lead singer. And...
Oh my God, Rome! Yeah. So I think that we should stay here, and I feel that way. Is that the song?
No, I've never listened to Sublime with Rome at all.
But they weren't allowed to just call themselves, like, Sublime because the guy Bradley Nowell, his estate wouldn't allow it. Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. No, I think I do remember when they did that. But I think, like, so Sublime in its original form, well, I mean, obviously the lead singer passed away, but they could never do a thing like Journey did or like those other bands did where, like...
Which I think that actually, like, helps their legacy, like, as fucked as it is, like, to have someone, like, die right before you become famous. It's just, like, you're cemented at that point. Like, it's just classics. They can't taint their legacy in that way. I mean, the songs are what they are, so it's like...
You can't add upon perfection.
Yeah.
Can you? No, it's true, especially, like... It's whatever they came out with now, or if they did, and like, let's say we live in a universe where all the members of the band are living, whatever they created, I feel like it wouldn't be like ska, Sublime, like fun, groovy. They'd probably be like, well, we're gonna do like what the kids want to listen to now, and they probably try to make like, oh my God, imagine, they'd probably make a trap album, like they'd
probably make like an EDM trap album.
They would, and honestly, It would probably be good. imagine it being like actually good.
Remember that song that was like bow, 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 bow. How is it called? I will wait for you.
I really don't know.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
It's kind of what
bow, 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 bow. No, never mind. But I was gonna say that if they were to make like more music like this year, it would probably sound like that, like more upbeat. Because I feel like they have to reach like the TikTok audiences. They have to reach younger crowds, and it has to be. And also, when like older bands come back, they're always like, "We're gonna be more pop."
Yeah,
yeah.
I don't think they would translate to modern at all. Like,
no.
Yeah, I'm.
Like, I think part of their charm is how kind of like rough around the edges it all is. Like, even their self-titled album is like pretty polished compared to 40 Ounces to Freedom, but it's still like weird samples. Like you said, they sample a fucking bong rip on one of their singles. Like, it's not like slick music, you know?
And honey, definitely in high school, if you were like that cool kid who was like syncing you like doing your bong rip to that song, like I was fantasizing about you. Like, I was like, that is the hottest man in the world. But it's true. I feel like that would be, it wouldn't, there's no time or place for it in today's society.
No.
That type of behavior. It would have to be like a bottle of Xanax rattling or Adderall. The kids love Adderall these days. Is that bad? Cut that out.
Adderall.
The kids love
Adderall. They do. They do love Adderall. The kids have no choice because of Big Pharma.
Yeah. I know. Adderall, oh my God. I remember like Adderall was getting big like kind of in my last year of high school. And I remember being like, truly, and this is so toxic, being like, I want to try Adderall. Like, everyone's trying it but me. Like, it was that type of vibe around it. Of like, oh, like, yeah, so-and-so's got Adderall now. It was very that.
Yes.
Yeah.
The drug of choice at my high school was cocaine. What was the drug, the popular drug?
Oh, expensive.
Yeah, that's very expensive.
I know.
Yeah, the boys, the soccer boys, especially. No, I shouldn't.
The soccer boys.
I feel like I was, number one, not cool enough to truly know, but like I think that maybe it was just weed and booze, like because that's just what my friends were into.
Yeah.
I knew one person feel like it was... who tried meth, and I was like, you know him too, Rory, but I won't say his name.
Okay.
Oh my God, I love this so much. Oh my God, Dane and Rory, I've loved getting to know you over this past like recording, but I've never felt closer to you more now than just then, Dana. When you were like, "Oh, Rory, you know him too," I was like, "Oh, they're my friends, they're my sisters." Like, that is so funny.
You know him too.
Yeah, I knew someone in high school tried back. Rory, you know him. Anyway, that is everything to me. Yeah, with my school, it was definitely weed. It was just weed.
Yeah, mostly just booze, truthfully, and a little bit of weed, but not. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then it was like after high school that it was like everyone else's high school experience was like coke, like you said, and I was like, that's wild, fucking crazy, like really, like
Tim's high school was all about coke. Was this a thing just in Manitoba, or tell me if you guys had this too, where it was bush parties? Is that a universal thing?
No,
where you would go out into the bush and have a party.
I grew up in Brampton, which bordered Caledon. So like the kids, and it's very like a like black city. So like it was usually like basement. We call them jams.
Okay.
Like they were just like parties. You'd like just go and drink and like dance. Yeah. But the kids that grew up in Caledon were like, they lived near places where you could go into the woods and like, and usually, like, they were richer and white and had, like, bonfires that they could have in their own backyards. So I went to a few of those, but it wasn't, like, a big culture in my high school. No. It was very, like, small.
Yeah, I never went to one. Truly, I grew up in the city.
Yeah,
we were going to like bars in Chinatown that would like serve children essentially, like like give us watered down beer, and we just get like fucked off like pitchers.
Like I go to more bush parties now.
Yeah, like, I would die to go to a bush party. I want to go to a bush party.
I think it's just the green space. Yeah. It's more available to us as adults.
Totally.
When you're a kid, you have to like ask people.
Except that ours, like when I mean the bush parties, it's just like in like literal a literal forest, and that someone's had a, like a little clearing made for. And I yes, there was there always was a bonfire, but it was kind of like not. There's these weird, not quite a park, not quite a forest, copses of trees in Winnipeg. Okay. That that I feel like people, and there was always like a feeling of danger around it. It was so fun.
Yes,
totally.
No.
Yes,
a bear was gonna get you.
Like your hand and the cops. Yeah.
No, already I'm like that is like that is like CW drama. Like someone goes missing. Yeah, where they
yeah,
go.
We're in a teen show. Yeah.
Oh
yeah,
my god, there's a mystery to be solved. I love that.
I always wanted to go to one because of Twilight.
Oh yeah,
Of course.
Yeah.
Well, actually, in Toronto, we would go to the beach, and there's this beach called Secret Beach that's like out. If there's all the city beaches are like city beaches, and then it stops and it just becomes its own thing, and it's kind of like rugged. There's less beach, it's more rocky, and that was where the kids would go to get fucked up. And it was like, oh, you're going to Secret Beach, and everyone would have a story, being like, well, don't go to Secret Beach, you might get mugged, and no one ever got mugged. No one ever got mugged on the beach. You know what I mean? Like, it was fine. Yeah.
What about you, Rory? How did you party as a teen?
Party animal.
Probably like the same, mostly like people's backyards. Cause I grew up out in the country. So like small town, not even in Winnipeg in the city. And like, you'd just like go to a friend's like backyard. Yeah. Like a bonfire that's way too big. Like there's no way teenagers should be in control of a fire that's like 6 feet high. It's crazy.
6 feet.
Oh my god.
Oh yeah. Like massive.
That is like some Bruheria, some witchcraft. Like that. I would love to be around that as a kid. Were there any cool guys who would light their cigarette in the fire?
In the fire?
Like hold your cigarette up to the fire.
Oh,
like
an ember. No, I've never seen anyone do that.
Guess what, Rory? You're going to be the first. And you're going to be the coolest.
That is so funny. Oh my god. I love how like all the parties I go to and things I go to now are scheduled.
Oh, totally.
And like not discreet at all, like very like proper, and I prefer that.
I prefer it too.
Going to parties in
high
school was
terrifying.
I felt like such a fucking loser.
No, they were.
They were scary.
I need to mentally prepare
myself. I was like, I'm going to get arrested.
You need to mentally prepare yourself for like a week before a social outing. Like totally. If someone's throwing a party, like tell me a month in advance so I know.
Yes.
Like
yes.
I know it's
exactly.
happening.
Exactly.
I know. But exactly. once COVID is over, I'm going to be a party slut. Man. I'm going everywhere. I'm going to Winnipeg. Yeah. You're going to see me
there.
We'll
have a bush party.
Yeah.
Walking down the streets of Winnipeg.
Oh.
Yes.
I would love that.
Yes.
Oh my
Do
God.
Do it.
Oh my god, before we wrap up, do you guys want to maybe like talk about hunks a little bit?
We should. Tell us a bit about hunks.
Rory,
what you have coming up.
Yeah. Dana's like, okay. We should. Shouldn't
well,
we?
We do our own podcast called The Hunks Podcast. Comes out every 2 weeks, every second Sunday. And you can find it anywhere you find podcasts. There's no like theme to it like this one. We just kind of talk about whatever and have guests as often as possible. So we don't have to just talk to each other.
Oh, my God. How long have you guys been doing that together? All the hunks be
like people. The hunks.
We started.
Well, how long ago did we start hunks? Five,
like
six years ago.
Years?
Yeah, it's been a while.
I love that.
Yeah,
that's cool. I love that.
But the podcast has had like different lives to it, and so now we're on like season 3. Episode something, who knows, you know, and like season 1 was 142 Perfect. Episodes, season 2 was 10 episodes, and then like
oh my god,
right now we're on like season 3 episode 1 part 3, so like who knows.
Oh my god,
part 3,
like the numbering That's system is arbitrary. Just ridiculous.
Oh, we gave up. We gave up on our numbering system. Yeah. We have 49 episodes out. So
really?
Something. I don't know. Yeah, 49. Yeah, we're not even at 100 yet. Isn't that insane?
100.
Yeah.
We will, though.
Oh, you will, for sure.
Woo! I can't wait.
Oh, my God. But tell us, Dana and Rory, tell us one more time where we can find
Definitely check out Mouth Beef, our new album, which you can find on Bandcamp, iTunes, Spotify, whatever. That was a
nice
our live from Bandcamp album that we recorded back in before, like pre-COVID. So it's like really nice to listen to people unselfconsciously laughing, you know, in a group together. Yeah. It's just really nice to listen to, and like brings a tear to the eyes, to the old eyeballs. And we have like live Foley on it. It's really fun. Definitely check that out. And then like, our podcast is called The Hunks Podcast. And then we can find us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Pornhub. they took us off Pornhub because we couldn't.
They took us off Pornhub.
What's the word?
Verified Pornhub did its big purge and all our shit got flushed.
We got some of the nice comments on Pornhub.
Really nice comments.
Really?
What
did they say?
Well, we have this one sketch that's just like a ton of rhyming for like 5 minutes, like straight. And this person commented like, this is really funny, like really like skilled, like really skilled performance and super funny. And it's just like they're typing this nice thing with one hand. For sure.
Absolutely. Oh my God. So true. And honestly, like, that's a true, you could tell they truly enjoyed it because if someone's in the mood for porn and they're met with a sketch, like, I'm sure that's literally there. I can't think of two more polar opposite things. For them to actually pause and watch it, I'd be like, wait, that is kind of funny. Yeah. Imagine, you know what would be the greatest compliment? If by the end they're completely flaccid.
Yes, exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They fully shifted from horny brain to comedy audience brain. I mean,
that's hard.
That's hard.
That's hard to
do. Well, not hard anymore, honey.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my God, that's so great. But so we can't find you on porn.
No, not anymore.
Okay, got it. Oh my God. Yeah.
Well, you can't find us on Pornhub either, but you can find us wherever you're listening from right now, which is probably Apple or Spotify. And you can also listen to us on the Sonar Network website. Please follow me at @AVAQUAN on Twitter and an extra N on Instagram. And please like, comment, and subscribe to the podcast.
Yes, you bet. No, Abba, you did great. You did great.
No.
I was about to say popcorn to help you. I'd be like the popcorn because I'm hungry. But you can follow Nostalgique Pod at Instagram and Twitter and Facebook. And like Abba said, leave a rating and review. It helps. You can follow me at JK Miss Thing on Instagram, Ben Sosa Wright on Twitter and TikTok. I know. Don't punch me. And leave a rating and review on Hunks Podcast and our podcast. If you like the podcast you're listening to, you know the best way to support is to always leave a 5-star rating. It is.
For sure. Actually, yeah. Yeah. So always leave a review and rating.
Yay.
Thank you so much.
Hey, thanks so much, guys.
Okay, so you've been listening to Abba.
And you've been listening to Ben. Bye.
This podcast has been brought to you by the Sonar Network.
Sonar!
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.